Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk about company-specific write-downs and losses. The war has been going on for more than 2 months now, and we're now starting to see a batch of quarterly announcements from companies who are detailing the losses that they are incurring as a direct result of this conflict. A lot of companies in the Western world have announced that they will no longer be dealing with Russia, and if they have operations specifically in the country, they are now closing down a lot of those facilities. So we're starting to see the financial details of what this war is going to cost all of these companies. So I've done a review of 24 different companies who have made their announcements. Now, clearly, there are thousands and thousands of companies that will be affected by what's happening. Any business that's been doing any trade at all with Russia will be impacted by this. So I haven't included all of the thousands and thousands of companies because I don't have the data, and also it'd be too difficult to do it in terms of the minutiae of detail. So in this video, I'll give you a rundown of the top 10 companies that have been impacted directly by what's going on in Ukraine right now. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget that I include chapters in all my videos, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it and move on to the next. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to both Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Russia's invasion of Ukraine started on the 24th of February, and sanctions were introduced almost immediately by a lot of the Western world. And those sanctions meant that it became very difficult to trade with Russia. But in addition to the official sanctions, a lot of countries and companies came out and made their own declarations that they no longer wanted to deal with Russia. So we've seen a whole wave of announcements from companies big and small that they'll no longer be dealing with their Russian counterparts, and that they'll be no longer investing any further capital into their Russian operations. And as those companies have started to close down those operations, we've started to see announcements about the actual cost. And in this video, I'm going to run through the detailed costs for 10 of the largest companies that have been affected. But these figures don't actually give you the full impact on the global economy because it's multifaceted. I'll provide you with the costings that have been released by these companies. And a lot of these costings are essentially the amount of cash that these companies have invested in those facilities so far. But the real impact will be much wider than that because we've got loss of trade. And if you're looking at a business that was intending to trade in Russia for the next 30 or 40 years, then the real impact of that will be 30 or 40 years worth of lost profitability. But it's very difficult to put a figure on estimated future profitability. But what I'm trying to portray to you here is that the numbers that I'll give you in this video are just a fraction of the impact on the global economy. The ripple effect that we've talked about a lot on this channel for other impacts will be massive because the loss of profitability in future years means that there'll be less money around to make future investments, and therefore it contracts the global economy. So I wanted to make that point to ensure that you realize that the figures I'm about to give you are just the tip of the iceberg. And obviously, these are just the figures for the top 10 companies. There are thousands and thousands of companies that are going to be impacted that I just don't have time to include in this video. McDonald's has announced that the closure of its 847 stores in Russia will cost the fast food group $50 million per month. So on an annualized basis, this equates to $600 million. 84% of all of the McDonald's in Russia are company owned, and the group has announced that it will continue paying all of the 62,000 staff and restaurant employees whilst the restaurants are closed. In addition to the employee costs, McDonald's will also incur additional costs from paying the leases and continuing to pay supply chain operation costs. AB InBev is the world's largest brewer that produces brands such as Budweiser, Corona, and Beck's. The business has announced it intends to exit Russia by selling its joint venture with a Turkish brewer and expects to take a $1.1 billion charge as a result of this. The joint venture has 11 breweries in Russia, employing 3,500 people, and also has three breweries in Ukraine, which employ 1,800. In 2021, the joint venture contributed $1 million to AB InBev's profits. Carlsberg is the European brewery that owns brands such as Carlsberg, Kronenbourg 1664, and Brooklyn Lager. This brewer has the largest exposure to the Russian market and has eight breweries employing 8,400 employees in Russia. Carlsberg has announced it would like to exit fully from Russia and has now put the business up for sale and expects to write off $1.4 billion as part of this exit process. In 2021, Carlsberg generated 10% of its revenue and 6% of its operating profit directly from Russia. As a result of the announcement of the exit from Russia, Carlsberg has lowered its operating profit growth forecast for 2022 by 5%. Carlsberg also has operations in Ukraine, but has not released figures as to whether or not it will be writing down these assets. Renault, the French car manufacturer, has a plant in Moscow and also has a majority stake in the number one car maker in Russia. The business has announced a $2.4 billion write-down to reflect the costs of suspending their operations in Russia, and have also stated that lost sales in Q1 in Russia equated to around 175 million euros. Renault has invested a large amount of money into Russia and, unlike other companies, has not stated categorically that it will be exiting Russia. It has merely suspended its operations. So this $2.4 billion write-down just reflects a pause in the business relationship. If Renault does decide to exit from Russia, then the impact will be significantly greater because they've got the plans that they've invested into and also the joint venture. So potentially the impact on Renault could be significantly larger if they decide that they need to close down their operations entirely. Citigroup, the large American banking corporation, has announced that it could lose as much as $3 billion from its Russian exposure. The main reason that Citi has such a large exposure to Russia is that it has an extensive retail banking network in the country. The bank has announced that its total exposure to Russia is now standing at $7.8 billion, which is actually a $2 billion reduction since December 2021, and that it expects to lose no more than $3 billion in a severely adverse scenario. This estimate is a reduction from its original estimation of potential losses of $5 billion in February. French bank Société Générale, which owns a Russian bank called Rosbank, has announced that it will take a $3.3 billion hit on the sale of that bank. Rosbank is being sold to Russian oligarch Vladimir Potanin, who is currently head of the Russian mining business Norilsk Nickel, and although he has been sanctioned by Canada, he has not yet been sanctioned by the European Union or the United States, which means that the deal can go through. SocGen was the first major Western bank to announce its full exit from Russia and had previously flagged the risk of a write-off of 99% of its stake in Rosbank. SocGen previously bought Rosbank from Vladimir Potanin back in 2006, so he is now taking back full ownership of this bank at a fraction of the price that he sold it for. ExxonMobil, the large American oil business, has announced a write-off of $4 billion in respect of its full exit from Russia. Exxon operates three large offshore oil and gas fields with operations based on Sakhalin Island on behalf of a consortium of Japanese, Indian and Russian companies that included Russia's Rosneft. Exxon had also been working on plans to develop an LNG export terminal at the site. Exxon has been working in Russia since 1995 and used its expertise in the sector to develop the Sakhalin facilities in 2005. That facility has grown significantly and now pumps around 220,000 barrels of oil per day. The $4 billion write-down by Exxon relates directly to their investment in Russia and does not take account of any future profitability that Exxon would have been making from this oil facility. Shell, the UK-based oil major, has announced that it will take a $5 billion hit following its decision to exit Russia. Now, this figure is an increase from the original statement of $3.4 billion disclosed back at the start of April. Shell has a variety of interests in Russia, but its largest single exposure is a 27.5% stake in the Sakhalin 2 liquefied natural gas venture. The company is currently in discussions with a number of Chinese state-run oil and gas businesses to sell that stake, and the increase in the amount of the write-off obviously reflects a reduction in the price being discussed by those Chinese buyers. BP is the UK-based major that has the largest exposure to Russia. The company has announced that it is exiting in full from Russia and that it will take a $25 billion hit as a result of its 19.75% stake in Rosneft. Now, the actual impact on BP's business will be significantly more than $25 billion because Russian oil and gas reserves account for around one-third of all of BP's reserves and its production. So this is going to have a future impact on the company as it will have access to less oil and it will be producing less on a yearly basis. But interestingly, it hasn't had a negative impact on the share price for BP, predominantly because the price of oil has risen so significantly since the start of the war that that has offset any concerns with regards to reductions in volume. Now, I've included Netflix at number one in this chart because of the direct impact that the loss of 700,000 subscribers in Russia has had both on the subscriber base for Netflix, but also the confidence factor has now been lost in the company. For the first time in its history, Netflix has had to announce a reduction in subscriber numbers. For the last 10 years, the company has announced increasing amounts of subscribers every single quarter, and that gave confidence to the markets that this was a business that was on the up and had exponential growth potential. And that's meant that the Netflix share price has increased hugely over the last 10 years. The overnight loss of 700,000 paying subscribers to Netflix from Russia has meant that they've had to announce a fall in subscriber levels, and that has really accelerated the concerns that the market has with regards to Netflix's future. And the day after this announcement was made, the company saw a $54 billion fall in its market capitalization, which equated to a 35% drop in the share price. Now, clearly, some of that share price fall is related to other factors in terms of increasing competition in the sector and other specific Netflix issues. But I think the biggest single factor with regards to this loss of valuation is the fact that Netflix had to announce this huge reduction in subscriber levels coming directly out of Russia, and that has caused the value of the business to fall, and therefore now everybody is worried about the future of Netflix. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, as I mentioned at the start of this video, the list of companies that I've just run you through is only a very small fraction of the real impact on the global economy. Clearly, there are thousands and thousands of companies who are now suffering because of the loss of business with Russia and the fact that they can no longer do sales there, or if they had operations or salespeople or employees in Russia or Ukraine, they no longer can access those individuals. So there is definitely a massive impact on the global economy. If we add up the total amount from the 20 odd companies that I've reviewed as part of this video, it comes to more than 100 billion. But my best estimate at this point is that the impact is more like $1 trillion. It is going to be significantly more than the 20-something companies that I've just reviewed. We are talking about a global impact of all of this loss of business. And this doesn't take account of the increase in oil prices, in gas prices, in commodity prices, and food prices that I've talked about in other videos. This is just specifically looking at lost profits and lost value of investment from the companies who've been putting money into Russia over the last 20 or 30 years. So hopefully it gives you a flavour as to what the impact of this war is on the global economy and why I think that there is a very high likelihood that we are looking at a global recession at some point over the next 6 to 12 months, because you can't just write off huge amounts of business and have no consequences. Netflix is a great example. They've probably seen the worst impact of all because overnight they lost 700,000 subscribers. They had to announce that to the market. The market was shocked and their share price crashed. And that's likely to be something that happens to other companies in other sectors all across the course of the next 12 months. So there is no hiding from the fact that what's going on in Ukraine right now will have an impact on every single person in the world. There is no hiding from it. Prices are going up, businesses are being impacted, profits are being reduced, and there will be a contracting impact as a result of this war. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative, and educational. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I know it's only the hardcore who make it all the way through to the end of these videos, so thank you for watching till now. As you know, we've got way more than 1,000 subscribers that we need to get to that monetization position, but we still are a bit short on the watch time. As of the time of making this video, we've got around 2,500 hours. So we've got about 1,500 hours to go. So we've broken the back of it. We're almost there, but I do need to ask you to keep watching those videos. Please keep logging on, having a play on the videos, maybe go to the playlist and let it run while you go out and make some errands, and we will get to that 4,000 hours point quite soon. And once we do that, I can then apply for monetization and then we're ready to start the experiment for real. So in the meantime, I would ask you to think about making some videos. Maybe you've already started, maybe you've already completed some videos. Make them as professional as possible. Try to make sure that the filming is good quality, that you've got a microphone so the sound levels are good, and that you've got a good structure to your video. So you've got a start, a middle, and an end, and there's a nice feel to it, and that you've got a thumbnail in mind. You can sell that. You can tell people what your video is about in a small number of words, and then that's going to be ready to go and people will want to watch it. So that's the concept, that's the idea. You've got to come up with a short movie that you think is going to be a winner and potentially could go viral. So thanks for watching again to the end of this video, and thanks for supporting Joe Blogs 2.